When I was young, I followed the New Year's Eve traditions that I was taught. I would dress up, go out, party, bring in the new year with kissing and celebration, and then wake up the next day back in reality, thinking what tangible things I could give up, like alcohol, drugs, sex, chocolate, shopping, etc. You know, the sinful things. But as I got older and wiser, knowing I would never give up those things, I decided to start giving up intangible things like fear, doubt, regret, and self-recrimination. And for the most part, I've done better giving up those things than I have the ones I can literally get my hands on. I haven't partied like it's 1999 since 1998 when we brought in 1999. Prince reference. We had a huge gathering at my sister's condo as we were ushering in the year 2000, and that was because the world was going to end and we wanted to all be together. I would say for the past 10 years, Russ has been in bed by 8 p.m., so I have sat up and brought the new year in by myself. I think I did it to show the kids, you know, that I could still do it. It's not that I'm old, it's just that's who I am nowadays. I have no interest in fighting the crowds, freezing my butt off at some outdoor venue, or dressing up. I am just as happy sitting home in my sweats and watching a movie or reading a book. Boy, how times have changed and traditions changed. When I found out that Pastor Paul was going to be out of town today, and I knew that Jim would be planning his ordination for next week, I somewhat reluctantly volunteered to preach. Reluctant because this would be 2 weeks in a row, and for me, it just got real. I have never preached 2 weeks in a row before. My plan was to deliver a funny message, starting with, "'Twas the week after Christmas and all through the church, a few folks were stirring and the pigeons were on their perch." But when I sat down to compose, nothing funny was coming out. I had spent all that time before Christmas on Mary and birthing love and found myself empty after Christmas Day. We are now in the 12 days of Christmas until we reach Epiphany. As many of you know, I was not raised in the church regularly. And because I consider myself a nonconformist, I also consider myself a non-traditionalist, which means that I do not have traditions or Christian traditions to lean on, even though my brother thinks I do. And after some discussion, we decided we had family traditions and not religious ones. Even though I went to seminary, we did not have many courses on the traditions of the church, and the one I did take, I didn't do very well in. From what I'm finding out, upon serious study, is that we learn most Christian traditions through attending church year after year and being involved in them. And if you are not there every Sunday for life, You may miss out learning most of those traditions. But that's okay, because there is always the Christian liturgical calendar to fall back on. During coffee with my brother yesterday, a tradition we started last year, to be more in connection, we talked about how my happy sermon about church life turned into one about traditions. Traditions are important, we decided. But with me being rebellious, I always want to change things up a bit. I do not like this. I do not like to do the same thing over and over again or repeatedly. Funny thing is, we had a tradition to go to our mom and stepfather's house on Christmas Eve every year for probably the last 28 years. And we took turns playing Santa. Now that I look back, I think I played Santa most of the time. Maybe I was the jolliest Santa out of us three kids. Who knows? My stepfather passed away in 2012, and Russ and I moved to Oregon in 2014, and then my mother and sister moved to Ohio in 2014. So our Christmas Eve tradition has ended. Because I no longer have that Christmas Eve tradition, I find myself back in church on Christmas Eve, perhaps to find meaning in another tradition. The Apostle Paul found out that the Galatians were listening to other preachers who were espousing the importance of Jewish traditions and laws and could not believe what he was hearing. They started to believe that they had to follow the law, become Jewish, before they would truly be Christian. He reiterated in his letter that they received the promise of the Spirit through faith. God, through Christ, has sent the Spirit into their hearts, he tells them. I can understand why the Gentiles were confused. They had Greek and/or pagan backgrounds and traditions that they were raised with, and not years of Christian tradition to follow. The Galatians did not have a Christian tradition to fall back on in their search for a connection with God and Christ. Thinking about traditions made me think of Christian history and how, even though we come from the same tradition, our stories and lives have been lived differently. Christian history has pretty much stayed the same until new discoveries were made, of course. And we all come from traditions that started many, many years ago in a time none of us were in. What makes religious stories different is our experience, our experiences, our own reason, our traditions, and how we interpret scripture. Plus, I might add, how we are moved by the Spirit. Some of us deny the movement of the Spirit, and some ride the waves of the Spirit with their hallelujahs and amen. Can I get an amen, sisters and brothers? They moved by the Spirit. Those moved by the Spirit tell stories about it too, most easily. Sometimes we find it hard to believe because we have not had those experiences. Even today, after 2,000 years of church history, we relate, all of us differently, to the story of Jesus and the coming of the Christ. Meister Eckhart, a Christian mystic, stated, "Though we are God's sons and daughters, we do not realize it yet." Now, he said this in the 13th century, and because of the different Christian theologies out there, it is believable that some of us do not realize or accept its concept or idea or meaning for our lives. Paul taught the Galatians that they were adopted children, heirs to the promises through God. You know, I don't think I have ever questioned being one of God's children. Remember, I wasn't raised in the church regularly, so I don't remember being told that I wasn't or was a child of God. I remember hearing Jesus loves me because the Bible tells me so, but I never questioned the child of God status. I suppose I just figured if God made the world, then God must have had a part in making me too. At one time, I thought it weird that we all came from Adam and Eve, but that's another story for another day. But we are heirs to the promise of the Spirit. You are my sisters and brothers, even though all of our stories and lives have been lived differently. Since we all come from different backgrounds, how can you say we are brothers and sisters and children of God? Christian spirituality theologian Matthew Fox states, "We are brothers and sisters and God's children because we all breathe the same air." Paul taught the Galatians and many of the other communities where he preached that God had sent the Spirit into their hearts and that Christ was sent to redeem those under the law and that the Gentiles were accepted into the family. How can we argue with that? I personally believe we are all born with an innate spirit. Perhaps it is our soul. Perhaps it is a God spark when we take our first breath. These stories of being heirs connect us to the original stories. The mystery of the history of Christianity speaks differently to each of our hearts and minds. The story of the Christ child lightens the world again with hope, peace, joy, and love. For me, I can believe the light of love that comes from a mysterious grace I do not understand. I have come to see how traditions are important to people. It grounds them. Groundedness has eluded me for most of my life. I have felt for a long time like I was a kite floating in the air, flitting in many different directions. Besides an innate spirit, I was born with an innate curiosity. And because of that, it is hard for the kite to settle down in one place or for my mind and spirit to settle on one idea. It's a tricky wicket I find myself in. And so, on the day after Christmas, December 26th, I sat down to compose a funny message, and nothing came out because I was empty. However, on Christmas Day, I posted on Facebook, "May the light of love shine brightly across the entire planet today and always." For me, the light of love, the Christ Spirit, was meant to shine over all of life on this planet. That love from the Holy Spirit is expressed in compassion. God in me is compassion for the other. Oh, how I could wallow in self-pity and only be compassionate for myself. But the divine presence has given me eyes to see my hurting brothers and sisters and a heart to feel their pain. Christian theology has evolved and transformed over the centuries. And depending on which century you find yourself in, or from which century you read and study, that is where your ideas and convictions come from. Unless the Spirit moves you out of an old tradition and into a new one, do you experience life differently? Because of that innate spirit of openness, curiosity, and compassion, I have always loved meeting different people. Funny thing is, everyone is different from me. But without a book to tell me, I knew that my human companions were my sisters and brothers. Because I believe in a universal creator, I consider us all sisters and brothers. The Apostle Paul tried to teach the Gentiles that we are all heirs through Christ's Spirit in their hearts, in our hearts, and in their hearts. What if, over the mystery of the history of the Christ Spirit, the light of love touched every new birth and breathed all the love, compassion, joy, peace, kindness into that newborn child? We'd all be called God's children. For the new and old Christians, love is always the key. What is important these days is the language of love and the words and actions we use and live out with our brothers and sisters on this planet. We are brothers and sisters and God's children because we all breathe the same air.